What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today's topic is all about trying to leave the house as stress-free as possible. Not necessarily focusing on trying to leave on time, that would be an ideal scenario, but more just how do we leave the house as parents and not be so frustrated at the start of our activity that it sets everything in a bad foot, and that for our kids as well. Warren and I talk about some tips that we've learned through reading up on this article to help us get out through the day, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Ultimately as well, if you could subscribe and really share this video or podcast, if you do enjoy it, it really helps us out. It broadens our horizon and gets it out to other people, which really helps us just have the confidence of continuing going. Obviously, we're not getting paid or doing anything for this. It's just out of enjoyment. And anytime we get to see some numbers go up, it always makes us feel that much better. So thanks, everyone. Stick around and listen as two flawed dads try not to screw up their kids too bad. Hello, Warren.
Hey, Graham. What's going on?
I'm doing well. The discussion that we're going to talk today hits home even just us trying to create this podcast. the topic is how to leave the house. And I was calling you. I said, hey, okay, I'll be over at X time. I already added additional time because I figured it would take longer. And this is only with one of our children. The other one was staying over at the grandparents' house. And even with that, we didn't get to the house at all on time. and there wasn't anything real pressure.
Yeah.
It was just a 2.5-year-old, like lots of situations that were in a good situation, and we still left late.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I just to clarify, this is about leaving the house with your kids, not as a dad just walking out the door, because that's easy. That's really simple. Leaving the house is easy when you're doing it on your own. Actually,
although I tend to forget things, admittedly, without my wonderful wife around, I'm like, ah, nuts. I forgot this one thing. And then usually the guys are like, all right, what am I going to do here?
Yeah, I have on occasion turned around and realized that I left one of the kids in the house still. Well, when you got three, particularly if you're trying to do it on your own, it's pure chaos.
Yes.
Right? Trying to get out of the house is havoc. So Rachel, in order to give us the opportunity to record this morning, was taking the three girls out to a play date out in Steveston, which is an area in our, a little village in our local area here. And I think it probably took 30 minutes of countdowns and instructions and all that sort of thing to get out of the house. And by the end of it, I could tell on her face that she was feeling like this isn't worth it.
Right.
Like, screw Warren and his podcast. Why am I trying to do this right now?
Actually, let's take a moment and I need everyone listening to appreciate the struggles and efforts that we go through to try and make it calm around here.
So that the audio isn't just screaming children and barking dogs.
So can we all just say a big thank you, Rachel?
Yes, thank you, Rachel. If only you listened to the podcast to hear this.
Just listen for the first 3 minutes of this. Just this one. Just this one. Everyone leave a comment to say thank you.
She does an exceptional job of keeping it quiet around here so that we can record this. So, putting the kids to bed early and making sure that they're not screaming, making sure that they don't run in to interrupt us.
She has said before it's a high stress for her, and I can understand why. Hard with three children, especially you would hope that as children get older, as they mature, etc., then the rationale of leaving on time and getting things together, etc., would sort of mesh and things would become easier and easier to leave.
I'm not entirely sure about that.
That's kind of what I'm seeming like.
I think you get to a point where they're apathetic to your goals and desires, where it's like, I don't give a shit, Dad, why you want to get out of the house on time. it makes no difference to me.
Right.
I appreciate that I'm causing you incredible amounts of stress right now. But again, I'm apathetic to that stress.
I was reading a book, one of my favorite book, the Scream Free Parenting, I think it was the name of it.
Yep.
One of the points that they talked about was logical consequences, which I very much appreciate or I can understand. And when they talk about having natural and logical consequences that occur. So as in, listen, you want to get to school on time. Mm-hmm. We have to leave by this time. If you don't, then basically I'm going to leave without you and you're going to have to be late or some type of consequence relating to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which works well, assuming that the kids want to get to school on time. Yes. And have some type of desire. Like the book is talking about how, well, then they have to deal with the teacher saying, they're giving them guff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that exists really. Like, I think it's just, you get a pink slip,
yeah.
You're late and it is what it is. So
there isn't even any pink slip anymore or anything like that. It's just,
oh, my daughter gets pink slips all the time.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, we haven't seen a single one of those.
Well, okay. It doesn't get sent home. But yeah. They have a little pink card that they grab and they bring it to the teacher and the teacher marks down that they're late.
Mm. We have only ever had comments from the teacher with regards to our irresponsibility with regards to timing and lateness. This was specifically at a school when we were living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel was responsible for getting the kids to school on time. And I love my dear wife, but punctuality is not her thing. And combine that with trying to get kids out of the house.
Yes.
You know, and at that point, we had a, 8, 6, and 4-year-old,
mm-hmm.
right? So chaos. Well, actually, I think even younger. I think they were 7, 5, and 3. And so very difficult to get them out on time. But she received a letter from the teacher at the school, like an actual letter in an envelope and everything.
Wow.
Indicating to her that she needed to be more responsible with regards to her punctuality. I can tell you she did not appreciate that, but she did start getting the kids to school on time. So it is really hard to get them on time. My concern, as much as punctuality is a big thing for me and Rachel and I, have a fair amount of conflicts over punctuality and
right.
being, I'm of the belief that you need to be early or you're late. Rachel is less concerned about that. My major concern with the topic that we're discussing today is not punctuality. It's how do I leave the house and get into the car without having steam coming out of my ears because
right.
I'm so frustrated in trying to get the girls out of the house.
Yeah. And
timing aside.
Yes.
Just the actual process of put on your fucking shoes.
Right?
Like, why are your shoes not by the door? How are your shoes not here? You come in the door. You take off your shoes. You put them in the basket.
Right.
And then you go play. Like, why aren't they here? Where could they possibly be?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the shoes is almost a podcast in and of itself, right? Like, I found a sandal underneath, like, deep underneath the back seat of our car, and we were looking for it a while. And now, we have a metric ton of different types of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably for that reason that eventually there is going to be a pair of shoes somewhere in the door. And we do the same thing, right? Shoes come off, et cetera, yeah. But sometimes kids take them off in the car or they leave them, so like it's just so somehow they just disappear, and so we have, you know, 8 different pairs,
yeah,
which allow the ability to, okay, well, not a single one, grab another one, let's get going here.
So your tip for dealing with the shoe issue
is more shoes.
Over purchase shoes.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, more shoes. That's the answer. Problem solved, Warren.
I'm not sure I'm a subscriber to this thesis.
It does work,
but they grow out of them so fast.
Well, we are frugal in
I know, which is why this surprises me.
with Virage Sale.
Right. Okay.
With
anybody who doesn't know what Virage Sale is, Virage Sale is like a local community Craigslist or Kijiji sort of thing. It's a buy and sell site.
Yeah, it's a Facebook marketplace, whatever it is, right? That is probably the most prevalent
with accountability measures and
across
trust.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace, there are kids selling shoes or parents selling kids' shoes are all right. over the place. You're able to pick things up for dirt cheap. And at which point, then it loses its entire value when you're buying shoes for $4. You're like, all right, well, these are dirty. Mm-hmm. They're a little scuffed up. Like, give them away for free. Someone else that can destroy them. Great. It changes things. Buying new shoes? Yeah. No, I'm not an advocate for that.
Okay.
So that's Understood. The reason why... it's not a particularly great solution, mm-hmm. But certainly that is one of where the shoes are. Maybe the dog takes... Anyways, yeah, I understand.
Shoes is one part of it. It's the entire experience of getting out of the house. And so when you and I were talking about, okay, what's our episode going to be today? And I thought, well, what's one of the biggest frustrations I've had this week? Trying to get the kids out of the house.
Yes, and it... When you're so frustrated, I'm sure the kids aren't particularly happy because they're getting either
the epitome of a flawed dad when I get frustrated.
Right.
And I have a very difficult time, you know, managing the tone that comes out. I have decreased my yelling.
Yeah.
But the tone is still such that I can feel the kids kind of like wincing.
Yes.
Because of the way that I'm speaking to them.
Which is to my somewhat point of where I'm getting to is that it starts that whole time for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Parent, kids, everyone, not like, yay, we're going somewhere. It's,
Yeah, exactly.
We're going somewhere. Like, here we go.
Yeah. So I took the girls out the other day to a farm tour, and we went to go to a bird sanctuary that couldn't go into because it required reservations, but then for a walk along the water here and getting out of the house, you know, I refused to tell them where we were going for the express purpose that I knew if I told them where we were going, at least one of them, and this is every single time, at least one of them would start going, well, I don't want to do that. And the fight would begin. So I actually have to keep where we're going secret so that they all can imagine what their most positive version of the day is.
Right.
And then I drop the bomb when we're in the car. And it guaranteed one of them goes, well, I don't want to do that. Well, guess what? You're in the car. It's too late now. So I have had to come up with that as a methodology for dealing with the fighting between myself and one of them. It's usually Naveena, but, you know, between one of them in not wanting to do what our plans are for the day.
When she does get there, mm-hmm. she has an okay time doing it, or she's in a mood.
But it's the idea. Well, I mean, yes, she's in a mood, but then she gets distracted and busy and gets into it, right? So because of her ADHD, right? We should probably do a full episode on ADHD and how it works in kids. So there's this thing called low dopamine syndrome, right? So our brain naturally doesn't create enough dopamine. And dopamine is your brain's reward system, right?
Okay.
So if you're not creating enough dopamine, your brain is constantly searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
When you find it, your brain doesn't want to let it go, which is why ADHD people hyper-focus as well. It seems like they have no focus, but they actually have no internal chemical reward in their brain to focus on something. Once they start to receive dopamine for doing or focusing on something, they are not going to let that go because there's such a massive lack of that reward that it is like crack cocaine.
Okay.
Right? And so Naveena has certain things that traditionally provide dopamine for her. And to walk away from those things to go and do something that she doesn't know if it's going to create dopamine is like torture to her.
Right.
So the idea of going on a walk where there's a whole bunch of distractions and no dopamine to her is terrible.
Right.
Right. Whereas going for a swim is amazing for her because of the sensory component to swimming.
Oh.
It's hugely beneficial for her and she loves to do it.
Okay.
Like going to the splash park with you guys the other day, right? Like that's something she really enjoys. She seemed like she was really grumpy while we were there, but she was having a really good time.
Good.
So I have created or changed the way that I do things to try and get them out of the house without fighting.
Right.
By not telling them where we're going.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure with that point, if it's I don't want to go, well then the motivation to get going is already at rock bottom, right? Like, so you're fighting it. Yeah. So by not saying it, it provides the ability to, well, maybe it's someplace that like will be fun and therefore I can contribute and help.
And I'm totally cognizant that this is not going to work for most families, right? Most families, you need to give your kids incentive to get out of the house and be descriptive with where you're going and get them excited and that sort of thing. With my kids, that doesn't work because we have three completely different personalities.
Yeah.
So,
well, I don't know whether maybe it will work. I haven't tried it. Mm-hmm. It's possible that it would work from everyone because all kids have an amazing imagination, mm-hmm. right? And as long as you know that it's something that they will probably end up enjoying, then you can say it. I'll tell you when you get in the car as an incentive, like, let's get in the car. Let's get like, once we get our, I'm actually buying into this.
Yeah.
I'm talking myself. I like that idea
because
their imagination is going to get going. As long as it's, as I said, it has to be something fun. It's like, we're going to the bank. What?
Well, one of the articles I was reading was actually talks about turning errands into something interesting for your kids to do by describing the process and making it a game and seeing how many you can get done in a certain period of time. And,
yes.
And those sorts of things. Like there's the gamification of that.
100%, I'm sure. But I'm saying the surprise aspect of things.
Yeah.
Saying going to the bank,
yeah.
Maybe not the time to pull that out of the bag. But a lot of times, I'm thinking I'm definitely going to try that actually because I think let's all get going. And now we don't have that big of a problem. Some of the tips, I know one of the things that I've read a few times is talking about like pre-packing your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In your bag.
That was in every article I read.
Yeah.
Was packing the night before.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I mean, yes, I agree with that. Is it something that we get done all the time? No. When we had babies, yes, we always had a go bag that was ready to go. With diapers and wipes and all those sorts of things. And so, particularly when you have a toddler or a baby, that's a necessity. As your kids get a little bit older and their demands change and what you need changes, that changes. But we still usually have a backpack with a couple of changes of clothes in it.
Yeah. The go bag. So I can appreciate the concept of the pre-pack the night before. This is all... I mean, every parenting advice is all predicated on the assumption that you have unlimited time.
Oh, yeah. Unlimited time and resources. That's right? All parenting advice is based on that.
So pre-packing the night before, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But what was the night before, right? Mm. How busy was the day before?
Yeah.
Were you just exhausted? Like, you know, that type of stuff. So pre-packing the night before. You just
fought with the kids, getting in the bed for an hour. And
something like that. Like there, it's maybe a pick your battle thing. So with that being said, I have a caveat to this, the pre-pack side, because we've tried this and overall it works, but you have to pre-pack your bags and put it in a place that is not accessible to the children.
Oh, so it doesn't all get pulled out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we've done that. And so another, when this one article is talking about keep things at the door, right? Mm-hmm. Taking shoes off. Right, just so that you don't end up having to run around looking for shoes, et cetera, okay? The pre-packing things and keeping those at the front door, which would make a whole lot of sense because that's where you're going to go, it does not make a whole lot of sense. You find it
all across the house.
Not only do we not, but sometimes you don't realize that they've taken it. Mm-hmm. And so then you think you have everything ready and you end up getting to a place and you're like, what happened to blah, 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 right? And they're losing their mind. They don't have it. You're like, well... Did you take it out? Yes. Well, then whose issue is that, right? And now they're upset or what? Or we're upset because something else is like
Yeah, so you find that your wallet's not there anymore, and yeah.
That is the biggest tip, is you hide that stuff. If you're going to do it, yeah, you hide it.
One of the suggestions is putting it in your car.
Right.
Right? Well, actually, one of the suggestions was having two bags. You have one that is always a emergency backup bag in your car, and then you have another one that you pack the night before, right? So you, even if you've forgotten something, you've got a backup set.
This is for the base level stuff that you maybe always need, change of clothes or whatever it is. But
snack most bars, of the stuff, those sorts of things, yeah.
Most of the stuff that I'm thinking about are the day of type things that for whatever the specific unique activity that you're going to do, you want. Putting
bathing suit, sunscreen, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
putting things out in the car. That's a good idea. That's assuming that the whole bag is complete at the same time, right? Like, we maybe don't prepare it entirely, right? It's like half done, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, now we just want to add the food into this bag or whatever it is. So if it's only a half filled bag, you're like, I don't really want to bring it out to the car. Anyways, it's just minor problems. Open for everyone. It's just something to be aware of for everyone to customize their own whatever system works. Putting it out to the car if the bag is full, great idea.
Yeah.
Love it.
One of the other tips that's here is feeding your kids before you go so that they are more complacent, right? And less likely to be hangry and grumpy.
Right.
So even if it's just a snack, so, you know, an hour before it's time to go, hey, let's go, let's have a quick snack so that you've at least dealt with one of the potential issues that could come up. And then, you know, the required bathroom break prior to trying to get out of the house.
Well, that's a absolute rule, and that should be a rule from every parent's household is we always go pee before we leave, and it's...
Who knows when we're going to see the next bathroom?
It baffles me how I've... Maybe it's of books of old where they joke about kids saying, oh, I need to go pee the second after they go in the house. I hope that the parents now are just, they put in the rule, you pee before you go. Because then it's not, I don't have to go pee. Great. Well, neither do I necessarily. I'm not, the I don't have to go pee thing is like, I don't have a full bladder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone can go pee. So let's just all go pee and then it becomes a no big deal.
Yeah. So they, one of these articles gives a little equation that I figure you like, because you like these sorts of things.
Sorry, just before you go into that bit, the snack before idea. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm maybe more of a negative Nancy in this side of Karen or whatever.
Yeah.
But again, the snack before sounds like a great idea in practical sense. Mm-hmm. That's assuming that you have a snack prepared, right? And that it's not going to become an absolute mess and blitz roll of you having to clean your stuff up and it takes a lot longer. So, yes, in an ideal situation where kids don't make messes and it's easy to put together and easy to clean up, then
there are some simple snacks, like easy go-to snacks that you can put together in a couple minutes, like chips and salsa or veggies and dip or crackers and cheese or... you know, snack bars, or those sorts of things. A big one in our house, applesauce. Man, do we go through a lot of applesauce.
Okay.
Right? That's an easy one that all three girls will eat.
And that's, would you suggest that's for any trip, like of any type of time period? Or are we talking about like longer trips?
No, I think just about any time you're trying to get them out of the house, a quick snack is probably a huge benefit.
Okay.
Like even if it's just to run to the grocery store. I mean, that's a no-brainer to feed them before you go to the grocery store.
I think everyone should get fed before they go to the grocery store.
Exactly. Rachel won't let me go to the grocery store until I've eaten something. She's like, there's no way you're not bringing home all the garbage you always bring home.
It's amazing how much it changes when you're full and you go to the grocery store. You're like, pass.
Yeah, don't need that. I don't need those empty calories.
Yeah,
my body's not craving that right now.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. You were on something else.
So, mathematical equation to determine how much time it is going to take you to get out of the house.
Interesting in this. Okay. Yeah.
Use the equation. Number of kids times 15 minutes plus travel time plus margin. Like margin of error.
Okay.
And it doesn't give a percentage for margin of error, but I would probably add 10 to 15% would be mine. So, for me... You know, three kids times 15 minutes, so it's going to be 45 minutes of prep plus the travel time that we need in order to get there. So, you know, if we're going into the city, it's 45 minutes plus 10 to 15% margin of error. So if it's 90 minutes, we need an additional 10 to 15 minutes on top of that. So it's, you know, it's an hour and 45 minutes for us to get ready and get to downtown.
And that's saying, so I need to get to someplace at 12.
Yeah.
That means that we need to start, quote unquote, getting ready to leave at 10.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
And now, how do you feel about that formula?
I think that's probably fairly accurate.
45 minutes to get the kids out the door?
If I want to do it without blowing my top before we get out the door. And that's my issue, is I don't normally give myself enough time to do that. Because I assume, well, it's going to take me 3.5 minutes to get ready to go out the door.
Isn't it just shoes on?
Well, I usually have to find my wallet, which my youngest one has hidden somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's 3 of the 3.5. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
But yes, generally it's keys off the hook, shoes on my feet, and I'm out the door.
Right.
And so what I forget, and what my wife so kindly reminds me, is that there are other things that have to happen with the kids. Like during the summer right now, sunscreen.
Yes.
Before they go out. Hats, shoes, making sure they go to the bathroom, making sure they have a snack, making sure that I'm packing a change of clothes and you know,
yeah,
water bottles, those sorts of things. It's a process.
And so within this math formula article, which is, it's something really to think about. Mm-hmm. This is talking about doing all of that stuff.
Feed the kids, bathroom stops, get yourself ready before the kids. And then a lot of this article is just about forgive yourself, like, you know, and don't be as stressed about timing, and let go of judgment, you know. So a tantrum as you leave the door, just let it take its course and move on.
I like that math formula. It's something that really puts you, I guess, you know, most of the time, I think when we as parents are getting ready, we're not looking at how long is this overall take as an average. Mm-hmm. How long does it take for us to get ready to leave every day? It's sort of like we're just trying to handle our business in that moment.
Yeah.
And not taking a step back to assess what it's like.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a matter of, yeah, what starting with this formula, knowing this, and then adjusting based on real world experiences for you.
So I'll go back to the school,
I like it.
School year when I was taking Nev to school. And this is just one child to school. So we had to be at her school at 8:15 in the morning, which meant that we had to leave the house at 7:15. I'd have her up out of bed at 6:30. Right? So I'm up at 5:45. She's up at 6:30 to get her fed, changed, brush her hair, bathroom, pack. I would make her lunch, that sort of thing, to be out the door. And that's just one child. Then Rachel would deal with the other two to get them out of the school or out of the house by 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, a big kind of like process. So 45 minutes for one child, but that's from sleeping to out the door. So I think mornings are actually more than if we're talking about like a day exit of the house.
You're right.
Right. So
yeah, that's not including any eating or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's more assuming all that is done.
Yeah.
And then it's okay. Now it's time to get going.
Yeah. So this evening we're going out for dinner and we're staying over at a friend's place. Right.
Right.
I am assuming it is going to take us at least 45 minutes to get out of the house. So our plan is to be out of the house by 3:30. So at 2:45, I'm going to start needing to get them ready, which means going through and making sure that their clothes are packed, right?
Not including the adjustment as well, though. So it sounds like it's more like 2:30. Because if it's a 15% adjustment, then...
Well, we have to be there by 5. So I'm giving us... It's a 45-minute drive. So I'm giving us 45 minutes to get...
You know, all right.
To get ready.
Over after the 3:30 timeline.
Yeah. So
you're assuming that 3:30 timeline is... You're already going to be late after that.
I'm assuming that
you're not leaving the house at 3:30.
We're gonna try and leave the house at 3:30. I think so. So yeah, 2:45 is when we need to start.
So under a ideal situation, you would leave at 3:30 and get there 45 minutes early.
We have to make a quick stop to drop off a dog that we're dog sitting. So there's an additional time constraint in that.
Yeah, that's.
But that 45 minutes, what I normally do is if I need the girls to pack something, I actually have them come up and put all their stuff in piles by the front door beside their backpack so that I can go and review that they have everything. And I have it all folded and nicely laid out so I can go, okay, you know, you're supposed to have a change of clothes for tonight, a set of pajamas, right? Toiletries, that sort of thing. And so they will have them all laid out and I'll go, okay, you're good to go, pack them in your bag. Right, they stuff all that in their bag. The bag goes beside the front door, so on and so forth with each of them. Right, so that I've reviewed the contents. Because inevitably, one of them will say, well, I don't need that. And I will have to say, well, I don't care if you don't need it. You don't have to wear it if you don't want it, like sweaters right now. You don't have to wear it, but I want you to have it.
Right.
In case it gets chilly tonight and you decide you want to go sit by the river. Right? So it's because if I didn't do that, particularly Naveena, she would go, well, I'm not going to use a sweater, so I'm not going to pack it. And then she would get there and she'd turn to me and go, well, I'm cold. I need a sweater.
And that again, back to that logical consequence thing. For Naveena, that doesn't apply. It's not like, oh, well, next time I'll remember to bring a sweatshirt.
The second the consequence is out of sight, it's out of mind.
Right.
With ADHD, it's called object impermanence. And if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. Which is why somebody with ADHD doesn't care that their car is dirty. Because their mind doesn't recognize that a problem exists unless that problem is right in front of them. And if they're busy doing something else while they're monitoring that problem, it causes some stress, but not enough stress for them to want to deal with it. Right? The second they get out of the car, they're usually busy going off to do something else. Mm-hmm. And so the second they go off to do something else, that problem no longer exists, even though they were just living within that problem.
Okay. Interesting.
So for her, not bringing a sweater and being cold.
Right.
The next time, she will not remember that consequence.
Right.
It means nothing to her.
Right.
Which is why it is so difficult to discipline and come up with consequences that work for her brain.
Right.
Because none of the stuff that works for a what do they call them? Neurodivergent, a non-neurodivergent personality works for her.
Hmm. Tough. I'm learning more and more about that. Yeah, because that's...
Yeah, we need to do an episode on ADHD.
Absolutely.
It's very interesting.
Realistically, a lot of those things that lessons there are probably very applicable to also bring across everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think kids in general don't necessarily have that. Even the non-whatever it is that you're... I can't remember the whole...
Neurodivergent.
There you go.
Yeah.
So... that means I'm a non-neurodivergent and Naveena is a neurodivergent?
Yeah.
Okay.
From my understanding of it.
So NND.
Sure. Yeah. You're a normal person.
Well, yeah, obviously we're trying to skirt away from that. It seems no one's normal.
No, absolutely not.
Everyone has. Anyways, kids in general, I don't think have like, oh, I'm going to remember to bring a sweater next time because.
Well, it's funny because Allie does. Allie completely remembers consequences and she will say to us, well, I don't want it to be like last time.
Right. Okay.
Right. Whereas Naveena just, that doesn't hit her brain.
So what about checklists?
Checklists are great if you have the checklist right in front of them, but you can't have a checklist up in, like we have it in the kitchen.
Right.
The second Naveena walks away from that checklist, it no longer exists.
Okay. So it needs to be like stitched to whatever travel bag.
Which is why people with ADHD use a lot of sticky notes.
Mm.
Because then it's always present.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if I put sticky notes in her room all over the place, that's a way to do it.
It's a big lesson on ADHD right now.
Anyway, so let's keep going with the topic at hand.
Yeah. So you review everything, which takes time as well.
Yeah. And which does take time. Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of times you end up being angry. Everyone is sort of angry or frustrated at that point in time.
Yeah.
Do you think that starting the things the 45 minutes ahead of time, will that solve the majority of the time, majority of the issues?
What would solve it inevitably is if I just did everything, but I'm unwilling to do that. So that's why I wanted to go through this, was see if there was something that was going to make this simpler. The issue, time is an issue for me because I like to be punctual. If I give myself more time, that's great. But inevitably, the more time I give myself and the kids, the less they're going to go through and get it done. So one of the recommendations is make a game out of it. And this is something we used to do when the kids were much younger, but we've kind of gotten away from because they grew out of the games. And I think what I have to do is figure out a way to make it a game for, you know, my oldest is now going to be a tween in November, right? She's going to be a preteen, which is terrifying. You know, and then Allie will be 9 and Lily will be 7. We're beyond the point of toddler games and that kind of... They see through my shit, is what I'm saying. And so I have to...
Interested in games anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I have to come up with some other way. So one of the things that suggests in this that I think is very interesting, withhold technology until they are in the car.
Right.
So the two older girls both have iPods. Right. And maybe at 45 minutes prior to leaving the house, technology gets put away and they know that they can have it back once everything is completed and they are ready in the car.
Yes.
And so it's kind of a consequence reward system, right? It's, you know, they're incentivized to get everything done in time. I don't care if they go sit in the car 10 minutes early. I'm good with that, right? As long as everything's done and they can have their technology back. So I'm thinking that may be a way to handle the issues that I've got right now with it. That doesn't quite solve the issue for Lilia because Lilia does not have one at 7, 6 years old currently. But I will have to figure something out there. I mean, she's the easiest one of the three of them to get ready anyways, because she wants to keep daddy happy.
I was just thinking, you know,
to your
point, when you do things for them, things are a lot easier. I know school time, of course it's summertime now, but like our record time for getting things going and getting McKenna out the door to school is probably like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's all hands on, like Vanessa and I are doing nothing else but team McKenna, get ready to get going, right? Like she gets up, okay, like here, I'm helping you get dressed. Okay, now you're going to the bath, like go, like it's like we're on her the entire time. Okay, brush your teeth now, great. Mm-hmm. While I'm sort of making sure that brushing teeth is happening, I'm brushing her hair as well.
Yeah.
And then Vanessa's in there making, preparing breakfast and probably lunch and getting that going. Mm-hmm. And then like we carry McKenna to the, like a chariot, right? Into the kitchen, right? She sits down. If hair still needs to get done, then like I'm beside her, like eat, 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 swallow, eat, swallow, eat, swallow, right? Like if you can talk, you can chew. Yeah. If you can chew, you can gulp. Like it's just a constant thing, and then we get going. But to your point, it's us.
Hello, Madam Cleopatra.
That's right. It's a like our exactly. It's a pit stop team, a high performance crew trying to changing tires and getting things going. Right, like I'm getting socks and stuff like that. So yeah, not ideal because she's not particularly involved.
Learning any self-responsibility.
No, which doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. Throughout this summertime, I'm trying to develop the same routine every morning. Mm-hmm. Before she gets out of bed, she makes her bed. Mm-hmm. And she puts her feet on the ground.
Before she gets out of bed, she makes her bed.
Yeah, have you never heard of this?
Making your bed while you're in it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
No.
You haven't done it with your own sheets? Oh, it is way, especially for bigger beds, it's a game changer. If you lie in the center of the bed, mm-hmm. okay, and it doesn't, for kids' beds, it changes a bit. But the way that McKenna's bed is situated, she's up against a wall.
Yeah.
So you can't walk around to the other side of the bed, yeah. which makes it really hard to, for a child to make a bed, mm-hmm. right? Because if you can get to both sides, then yeah. you can tug one and tug the other and slowly, you know, just go back and forth type stuff, yeah. okay? Because she's against the wall, she's not long enough and tall mm-hmm. enough to reach over and tuck it in, right? So if you lie in bed, you can pull the bottom sheet up over your head, mm-hmm. right? And then sort of fold it over a little bit so you mm-hmm. have space to breathe. And then you get the top sheet and pull it up mm-hmm. and get it over to the edge. And then you sort of slide out. And yeah, maybe it little ruffles it a little bit, but at least sure. the edge is still there. And then you pull it right.
Interesting. Okay.
And on a big bed,
yeah.
it's even better because you lie in the center of the bed. Right?
I can picture you doing this.
100%. Like, yeah.
like a snow angel.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly it. Because then you don't have to walk around to the other side. Sure. It is way better. It's so much faster. I really much enjoyed making the bed like that because it's fun. It's fun and it's efficient, which is two of my most preferred things. It's awesome. And then you just fold over the one side, get out of the bed, make that side again.
Right.
Well, you're done. Anyways, so she gets out of bed. The second her feet hit the ground, she's supposed to go and open the blinds, get dressed. When she gets dressed, then she's supposed to go to the bathroom. Presumably, she has to go to the washroom and then brush her teeth. That's the ideal sequence of events that I want her to have.
Right.
She doesn't necessarily do that. That's the ideal. Most of the time, it's get out of bed and I go to the couch.
Right. Yeah.
Skip step everything else.
B to Y.
But we're working on it. She is starting to make the bed now. She skips sort of opening the blinds, et cetera, which yeah. Opening the blinds makes noise. And sometimes other parties of the household are still sleeping. Mm-hmm. So that's a pass for sure. And because it's dark, mm-hmm. then sometimes, especially if you don't have to go anywhere, then getting dressed is not yeah. as important. You kind of want to lounge around, et cetera. But it would be nice, the brushing of the teeth part, because I find that I've gone on that tangent before, most of the time she does not brush her teeth after a meal.
Right.
Like it takes however long to get going, even eating the meal, and then we forget that she needs to go brush her teeth and she's yeah. not going to remember. So routine, I mean, that's been talked about as well.
Seems always like talked about that many times.
Routine's a yeah. great idea.
There's one other thing here that I thought might be interesting. And given that everybody has some sort of cloud-based device speaker system in mm-hmm. their house, having a get-ready song or a get-ready playlist
yes, okay.
would be a good idea so that the kids know where they're at with regards to it's time to go. So that, you know, when that last song hits, so their recommendation here is Hit the Road, Jack by Ray Charles.
Okay.
It's going to kind of be like your last song. So right. If you've got three or four songs you play, the kids all hear it. You can play it throughout the house. If you've got the speaker set up all over the place, kids are like, oh, okay, yeah. I understand what it's time for, right? Because it interrupts everything else.
Yes.
And they know, okay, I've got three songs to go. I should be doing this at this time, you know, that sort of thing.
I'm thinking, I'm chuckling to myself, you should just record your own voice.
Right.
And right? Just, towards and just play the end.
It like a countdown.
Hey. Girls, we have 1 minute left before we have to get going. Mm-hmm. That's right. 1 minute left. Mm-hmm. 60. Imagine that. 59. 58.
The rocket countdown. That's awesome.
Right? And thinking of that, I mean, maybe not as extreme as that, but maybe something like that where you're throwing in like, okay, girls, like, is our last song? Half as a track.
I do like that idea.
That's a very
I think that is something that I will try to see how that works.
Yes.
Is having a get out of the house playlist.
And for with the math formula, does that mean that the playlist is 45 minutes long?
I don't think I'll use it for the full 45 minutes. I think I will probably use it for the last 15.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Four songs. Because at 45 minutes, the kids would be like,
oh, exactly. I know how much time.
Right? You know, it's like, okay, we've got three songs left to before we have to get out of the house. And that the last song needs to be something dramatic, like Hit the Road, Jack. Right? First song could be like Traveling Wilburys, On the Road Again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Can't wait to be on the road again.
Can you automate that where you can set an alarm based on a specific time that the playlist goes off?
Sure. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah?
Yep.
Good. The future is now. Wow.
It is.
I never looked at automation.
That's an interesting idea. I think I'll probably start with just play this playlist because...
That's assuming that you're looking at the time yourself, though, right? Like
I'm generally pretty conscious of time.
What I have used the automation for is announcing it's bedtime.
Right. Yeah.
I have, in this case, Alexa, we have both. We have a Google and Alexa system.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa, for the most part, I think is better for anything ritual-based, alarm-based, or whatever it is. For anything informational-based, then clearly Google is the thing to do. Asking Alexa, what is this and what is that, it doesn't particularly work. But that's what rather than me being the bad guy all the time announcing that it's bedtime.
Yeah, well, Alexa says you gotta go to bed.
Like, hey. They're the ones that's saying it, right? Not me. Now, it's summertime, so basically the reminder...
Bezos is telling you to go to bed.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it's summertime now, and so it's 7:30 is when it's time to go to bed, like we're eating or something like that. So it's a total dismissive, like, oh, well, you know, we're not going to pay attention to this. So I think I need to change that alarm to push it a little bit later.
Yeah.
So it's just me speaking out loud now. I realize that because it goes off and we ignore it and then it continues on. Which
that is the big problem is when you set things to automation and that kind of stuff. Because it doesn't fit exactly with your timeline, you tend to dismiss it.
Right.
So,
but that's where if you can ask, hey, I don't know, but assuming you can say like, okay, well, set my playlist to start like on this particular time, right? Okay, we need to leave it to your point 10:30 or whatever it was to get there. Okay, hey Alexa, can you play this playlist at 10:30 this morning?
Yeah, you can. Okay. You can do exactly that. Yeah,
all respect.
Can be a
I like
day
it.
Alarm and all that kind of stuff. So
that's a banger tip at the final end. I'm going to do that for sure.
So. I think so.
I'm excited.
So feed them, bathroom, 15 minutes per child plus wiggle time.
Playlist ahead of time.
Playlist. It would be like, what is it for baseball when they have their coming out song? You know, something along those lines. What other tips was there? What I do with my kids is don't tell them where you're going until you're in the car.
Right. Making a game to a degree.
I can see people being upset about that and it being manipulative and that sort of thing, but it's what
Why
works
is it manipulative?
In my household.
As long as I put the condition, as long as it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually fun for 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Right? For the third one, it sucks because it's usually that they don't want to do it. But that's the challenge with 3 personalities is I can't win them all over, right? I can't make everybody happy.
So. No.
Whether I told them before we left or after we left, one of them was going to be unhappy. It just makes it easier for me to get them out of the house to go and do the activity that's going to make them unhappy.
Yes.
Great.
That's fun. Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up there.
Thank you, everyone. Subscribe.
Yes, do that. And
it's Cole's Nose version.
Make sure, leave a comment, please. We really appreciate it. Not that I'm begging, but please.
It helps us so much.
And share this. Please, if you know 2 or 3 other dads that might enjoy this or parents, send it over to them. I think this is an interesting topic that could be shared with lots of people. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.